I could have just happily just stayed right there in worship, just that anointed worship. Praise God. Thank God for it. Amen. How many came ready to receive tonight? How many came you believe God will speak to you tonight? Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. We'll keep the switch of faith turned on. Praise God. Don't you appreciate our pastors? They lead us. They do such a wonderful job. Pastor and Mrs. Hagen, the Hagen family, they do an outstanding job. Glory to God. We ought to thank God every day for our pastors. Thank God for them and for their leadership. You have your Bible tonight. We're going to start at 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Before you blink real well, we'll be in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. If you bat your eye, we're going to be over in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. So let's just start calmly in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, if you will. Verse 11. And then we'll go over to our key scripture real quick, which is over in Matthew chapter the end of chapter 3 and into chapter 4 a little bit. So, all right. You're in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. There are some warnings here about Satan. And our purpose tonight is not to overly emphasize Satan, because we know this, and aren't you glad? Satan is a defeated foe. Amen. Satan isn't going to be under our feet as believers. Satan's already under our feet. Glory to God. Jesus made him take his hands off of us. And the good news tonight is, if you're in the body of Christ, Satan is no longer your master. You are no longer under his power. He no longer has any right over you, any right to trespass against you. He is under your feet. How many know and understand that? Glory to God. But we do have to adhere to the warnings of Scripture to be careful around Satan, because there are things that the Bible encourages us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. You're there in 2 Corinthians. Stay right there. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 6 says, hey, what happened to Israel and how Satan duped them in some things should be examples for us in the body of Christ today. So we're going to read some three scriptures at first, and then we're going to go to our key text. So 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 11. So that no advantage would be taken of us by Satan. For we are not ignorant of his schemes. We are not ignorant of his schemes. God doesn't want the enemy taking any advantage. He's already a defeated foe. He's already a defeated foe. It's a shame if Satan takes advantage of any believer, because he's a defeated foe. And so Jesus has already conquered him, already assured us the victory, and therefore there should be no reason for him to have any advantage over any believer, and we can't be ignorant of his schemes. So that's 2 Corinthians 2:11. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. In whose case the God, small g, of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Here the Bible says that Satan is the small g, God of this world, and that he has, what has he done? He's blinded the minds of those who can't see. And how many know, there was a day and time, I remember a day and time when I was blinded. My own mind was blinded. Glory to God. But then the light of the gospel shone upon me. Praise God. And Jesus set me free. How many have that same testimony? Praise God. Amen. And so that's 2 Corinthians 2:11. That's 2 Corinthians 4:4. And then 2 Corinthians 11:14. 2 Corinthians 11:14, if you will. No wonder, it says there, no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Now, using those three scriptures, I want to go to our main text here, where we will spend our time, really. And that's in Matthew chapter 4, but we're going to read the end of 3 into 4, okay? So, if you will, go to Matthew chapter 3. We'll read the last few verses of Matthew chapter 3, starting at 13, and then we'll read into Matthew chapter 4, and we'll end at 11. I'm just going to read that quickly, and then we'll make some comments about these verses that we've read. Is that okay? All right. Matthew chapter 3, verse 13. Then Jesus arrived from Galilee at the Jordan, coming to John to be baptized by him. But John tried to prevent him, saying, I have need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me? But Jesus answering said to him, permit it at this time, for in this way it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. And then he permitted him. Verse 16, After being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and lighting on him. And behold, a voice, everybody say a voice, out of the heavens said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Chapter 4, verse 1. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." And then the devil took him into the holy city, had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple. And he said to him, If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Verse 7, and then Jesus said to him, "On the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." And again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me." And Jesus said to him, "Go, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only." And then the devil left him. And behold, angels came and began to minister to him. I want to use as a title tonight, a title that is often used now. This phrase is used at sporting events wherever you go now. But I want to use this as a title tonight: Hit the Road, Jack. I've got a word from God. I want you to look down at your feet, because that's where Satan is. He's under your feet. So just look down at your feet and tell him this: Hit the road, Jack. I've got a word from God. Help me one more time. Say, "Hit the road, Jack. I've got a word from God." That phrase, "Hit the road, Jack," you go to any sporting event, go to a baseball game, and when the pitcher, somebody's shelled the pitcher and they've hit too many runs and they go to pull the pitcher out, you know what the crowd starts singing? They start singing Ray Charles' old song, "Hit the road, Jack. Don't come back no more, no more, no more, no more. Hit the road, Jack. Don't you come back no more." In basketball, go watch a basketball game, and when somebody fouls out of the game, the opposing fans start singing, "Hit the road, Jack." That song's a song I'm very familiar with, because my mom and dad, and they weren't saved in those early years. They both got born again in the latter years of life, and when that song "Hit the Road, Jack," that's an old Ray Charles hit. Oh, man, that was Ray Charles had 3 number one hits, and that was one of his 3 number one hits, "Hit the Road, Jack." And October 1961, that was the top song in the country, believe it or not, "Hit the Road, Jack." And but, you know, in modern day, we just revive it and use it in sporting goods and so forth. But my mom and dad, man, they had 100-watt speakers, and they blasted that song, "Hit the Road, Jack." I knew the words to "Hit the Road, Jack" as a little boy. I could sing all those words. But that is something that is very apropos as we read these scriptures, for a believer to say to Satan, when Satan starts messing with you, when he starts trying to trespass against you, when he starts trying to send you ungodly thoughts, that is what every believer ought to say: in the name of Jesus, hit the road. You can't afford to let the enemy just send thoughts to you unchallenged. You can't afford to let Satan trespass against you when Jesus has already set you free. Amen. We have to send him packing. Why? Because Christ has given every New Testament believer authority. Oh, glory to God. In Christ, we have authority over Satan. Praise God. Jesus took the keys of death, hell, and the grave, and he gave those keys to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to God. We have authority through the blood of Jesus. We have authority through the word of God. We have authority through the name of Jesus. We have authority through the promises of God. God has given us authority over Satan, and he expects you and I to exercise it. And every place Satan lifts his ugly head around us, we are to bop him in the head with the word of God and tell him, in the name of Jesus, hit the road. When he starts telling you you're not going to make it, hit him with the word and tell him, hit the road. When he starts suggesting that you're not healed, tell him to hit the road. When he starts telling you things that are inconsistent with what God has promised you, what we can learn from this passage in Matthew is if Satan would lie to Jesus, let me tell you something, he'll have no problem lying to you and I. Jesus said he's not only a murderer, Jesus said he's a liar. He's a liar from the very beginning. Satan can't do anything but lie. And God never told you and I to entertain his lies, to sit around casually trying to figure out and add up the dots, connect all the dots to his lies. He's a liar. Jesus never spent having long conversations with Satan. He did one thing. He cast him out. When Jesus ran into Satan, he just cast him out. He didn't spend time philosophizing with him and all and going thinking about all the deep things that he might be hearing. He's a liar. He can't do anything but lie. And thank God we have authority over him. And here in this passage, he tries a diabolical, evil, scheming lie against our Lord Jesus. And Jesus put him right back in his place. And Jesus left us instruction how to do the same exact thing. Now, when I read at the end, the very last line I read of Matthew chapter 3, verse 17. Do you remember what that was? It was the voice of the Heavenly Father. He was validating the Son, God the Son, the Lord Jesus. The very last line of Matthew chapter 3, it's the voice of the Father saying to the Lord Jesus, this, a voice came out of heaven. This is my beloved Son. And in him, I'm well pleased. Woo! What? How awesome must it have been for that voice to come out of heaven from the Father. And the Bible says the Spirit lighted upon him like a dove. And right there in that moment of time, you have the Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, all right there as Jesus comes up out of the water with that validating voice of the Heavenly Father, confirming, affirming, and validating that Jesus is his Son and that he's well pleased with his Son. And then chapter 4, the Holy Spirit leads Jesus in the wilderness to be tempted by the enemy. And the very first thing that Satan tries to lie to Jesus about is whether or not he's the Son of God. Did you catch that? The very last part of Matthew 3, 17, it's the Father saying, you're my Son, I'm well pleased. And the very first challenge of the devil is to try to lie to Jesus. If you are the Son of God. He knew Jesus was the Son of God. He snuck up on him and said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. He knew Jesus was the Son of God the whole time. Jesus had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. And he was hungry. Anybody ever been hungry? I like to read that story in the King James. It says, afterwards he was in hungered. Anybody ever been in hungered? Jesus had fasted 40 days, 40 nights. Satan knew he was the Son of God, and he crept up on him and said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. Is it any wonder that he will plant seeds of doubt in your mind? If you're really righteous, then why don't you do such and such? If God's really forgiven you, then why do you feel so guilty? If you're really healed, why you've had that pain in your body. He'll take whatever Christ has done. I remember when I first got saved. When I first got saved, you know, the enemy came. He tried to lie to me and tried to say, you're not saved. You need to go down there again. You didn't get it. And every time the preacher would give an altar call, I'd want to get out of my seat and go back down there and get saved. I was born again. Then I'd hear a message. And I said, ooh, I better get saved again. Anybody ever go through that except Brother Bill? And then thank God I had a brother who discipled me in the Lord. And this brother said, hey, man, you need to take God at his word. I said, what do you mean? He said, God promised. He promised. He made you a sure enough promise. And God is faithful. He said, God is not a promise breaker. And God said, if you ask Christ to come in, ask him to forgive your sins. If you told him, you're the Son of God, you've risen from the dead for my sins. If you ask him to come in, he'll come in. And he said, did you do that? I said, of course I did. He said, then God's not a liar. He said, now if God's a liar, then he didn't save you. He said, but we know this, God is not a liar. God cannot lie. Satan is the liar. And he said, when you have those thoughts, brother, listen, you know that you already received Jesus, so cast those thoughts down. Oh, glory to God. And that was a great getting up day for Brother Bill. Because the next time Satan tried to tell me I wasn't saved, I said, no, I've got it in the Word. I've got it in the Word. He said, hey, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. And I said, I got Word on it. I did that and I'm saved. I'm born again. Not going to let you take it, Satan. Not going to let you steal it. You know, I never again had a thought like that. After that, he disappeared. Never had a thought about that. A doubt about it. I remember, though, after I got filled with the mighty Holy Ghost. Anybody ever remember when you got filled with the Holy Ghost?
Yes.
People today can't remember when they got filled with the Holy Ghost. People today just say, Hey, that thank God. How many glad for the day you got filled with the mighty Holy Ghost? Jesus said, there's a river in you. There's a river in your belly. He's the mighty Holy Ghost. Glory be to God. He's a counselor. He's an encourager. He's a divine strengthener. He's a helper. Oh, glory to God. What do you need? The Holy Ghost is on the inside of you. Jesus said, it's to your advantage that I go away. If I don't go away, I can't send him to you. But if I go away, I'll send him to you. And he'll be at your beck and call. Every moment, every hour, every second of the day, when you need an audience with the King, the mighty Holy Ghost will be right on the inside of you. Say that with me. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Come on, say it again. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Woo, where would we be without him? He is our river of strength. He's our river of encouragement. He's our river of help. He's a river of a mighty counselor. He's a river of a God. He's a teacher on the inside of you. He's the mighty Holy Ghost. Jesus said, you got a tremendous advantage as believers because you've got the Holy Ghost on the inside. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so he tried to lie. He said, if you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God. And he'll try to put that. He tried to tell him. So when I got filled with the mighty Holy Ghost, he said, you didn't get filled with the Holy Ghost. That's just a bunch of gibberish you speaking. He said, do you understand it? I said, no. He said, that's just a bunch of nonsense. You're not speaking in any other tongues. Sound to me like he didn't try to run this game on somebody else in here. Oh, but I learned then to go to the Word. To go to the Word. I went to 1 Corinthians 14, chapter 2, said, he who speaks in an unknown tongue is not speaking to men. No man understands it. But in his spirit, he's speaking unto God, speaking out mysteries unto God. Glory be to God. Said, I'm not going to let you take it. Satan tried to convince me I didn't have it. I stayed up all night long praying in a brand new tongue. You know, he never bothered me about that anymore. The beautiful things that Christ has done for you and I, when we read from Ephesians chapter 1, the Bible says if you're a believer tonight, you are one blessed man of God. You are a blessed woman of God. You are a blessed child of God. Why? Because he chose you in him before the foundation of the world. He predestined you unto himself. He redeemed you by the blood. I wish I had one amen in here tonight. By the blood of the Lamb. Yes, he did. He did that for you. Glory be to God. Yes, he did. We are some blessed people. But in every area where Christ has already blessed us, it is that lying slew foot Satan that tries to slip up on one side of us undetected. And he tries to get us to doubt and question the very things that Christ has already done. And in the same passage of scripture from Matthew 4, verses 1 through 11, twice he says to Jesus, if you're the Son of God. And he knew the whole time that the Lord Jesus was the Son of God. This passage of scripture reminds us, listen, number one, you cannot trust your feelings. Brother, won't get no amen teaching like that. This passage of scripture is a reminder that you and I cannot trust our feelings, natural human feelings, because our natural human feelings are not always right. our natural human feeling sometimes we like to slap somebody. Okay, I'll go on. Don't nobody identify with that. Let me give you one you can identify. Natural human feelings would like to oftentimes stay in bed when it's time to get up and go to work. But you know what? When it's work, we do it differently when it comes down to work. Because when tomorrow morning, many people will get up, they won't feel like going to work, and then they'll say, oh, man, I don't feel like going to work. And then they'll think, oh, but I'm not going to get paid. Payday is coming. I better get up and go in there. And you know what people do? People ignore their feelings. Yeah. Now, my bride, my sweet baby, we go to the gym early. We go 5. We get there 5. The class, we take a little class. It starts at 5:15. Somebody asked me one time, they said, Bill, are you happy and excited to be here this morning? I said, no. I don't want to be nowhere near this gym. But I ignored my feelings because of the benefit of what was to come. When you get those serotonin levels going and you get all those good endorphins going as you start to sweat a little bit and your body sends you those endorphins and those natural, there's so many benefits you get from doing that. But you have to ignore your feelings. And we're always willing to do it when it comes to pay. But when it comes to God, oh, I don't feel like going to church. I'm... When it comes to God, I don't feel like getting up to have no quiet time. That's the only area where we want to obey our feelings. But you have to ignore your feelings. Jesus was hungry. You don't think after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, the Lord Jesus, he was hungry. And here was Satan's goal. He was trying to get Jesus, and this is what he tries to get you and I to do. He was trying to get Jesus to act independently of the Father. The Father never told Jesus after fasting to turn stones into bread. He never told him to do that. And Satan was trying to get Jesus to act independently of the Heavenly Father. And if you're going to live in the victory that Jesus has already wrought for you and I, the victory that's already been bought, purchased, and paid for, the victory that's already been delivered for us, we're going to have to ignore natural human feelings. Because we can't be led by natural human feelings. We are to be led by our spirits, led by the Holy Ghost down in our spirits. Romans 8, 14, Romans 8, 16, Proverbs 20, 27. We're to be led by the Holy Ghost from the inside out. You're not going to be able to rely on your feelings. If that natural hunger, Satan knew that Jesus was hungry and he tried to appeal to his feelings. But Jesus was too smart for that. You know what Jesus said? It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, I was reading in Rick Renner's book, Sparkling Gems of the Greek, as I was studying, preparing this message the other day. And that what Jesus says here, when he says, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word, on every word. Most of the time, we think that means logos, but Rick Renner points out that that's not the word logos, like the written word. Logos is the written word. That word there, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word. That word there is rhema. It's the spoken word. What Jesus is saying is man can't live on bread alone, but man's got to live on every spoken word that has come out of the written word that God gives. Can I tell you this? God always has a word for you. Sometimes people get lazy and they say, well, I'll just go to somebody who looks anointed, see if they got a word for me. I say, well, you got a word for me? You got a word for me? That is a good way to get led right into a ditch. I've had people tell me at times in my life, critical junctures in my life, that they had fasted and prayed for me and that the Lord had said something to them that I was supposed to do and that they knew it by fasting and prayer. Man, that sounded good. But you know what? I had fasted and prayed for myself. And the Lord told me to do the opposite of that. And I would have been duped by that. There are times in my life where that would have been enough to fool me. There are times in my life when that would have fooled me. I would have said, oh, you fasted and prayed. You heard that from God for me. Oh, okay. But in my own time of fasting and prayer, God said, don't you do that. Amen. And that's why I'm here in this pulpit today, listening to God through my own fasting and prayer. Amen. Let me tell you this. Nobody can pray for you like you can pray for you. Brother ain't going to get no amen talking like that. I might as well go on. But you better learn how to pray for yourself. The word that Jesus uses there is rhema. He uses the word rhema there. He's saying that in effect, that what God will do for you, when we study the word, when we put our head in the book, when we meditate in God's word, God will reach through the power of his word, because his word is alive. These are no dead man's word. This book is alive. The word of God is dripping with the anointing, waiting for somebody to believe it and read it and speak it. The word's alive. Hebrews 4:12. So there's power in this word. And so what happens when we read the word and meditate in the word and give our attention to the word? Now God, the Holy Spirit, can take actually words from this book and register those words in your spirit. Brother won't get no amen there. I remember when I was believing God, I don't know, 5-6 years ago to buy another house. And I was reading in the word, and I read down there in Deuteronomy chapter 8. Oh, man, when you build good houses, the Lord was saying, remember this, when you build good houses, and Deuteronomy 8:12, otherwise when you have eaten and satisfied and have built good houses. I read that jumped off the page to me. And I thought, oh, man, and the Lord told me, get that, stay with that. Claim that as you're shopping for your house, you're believing for your house, there's a word, there's a rhema word right there for you. Every day I made that part of my confession. Yeah. Do you know the word of God is full of rhema words just waiting for you to get your head in the book? And Jesus said, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every rhema word that proceeds from the mouth of God. God's got a word for you. And whatever it is you need, whatever problem you have, whatever question it is, whatever challenge you face, God's got a word for you. But we're going to have to get our head in the book. Look inwardly instead of outwardly. And as we do, God will show us. He'll show us exactly what we're to do. Listen, we're not going to be able to rely on our feelings. I'm going to unhook from this message and I'm going to come back, because there are several points in here that I want to make. And the next time the Lord has us speak on this subject, we'll pick up here and go here. But remember this, you can't rely on your feelings. That is a trick, a tool of the enemy to get you and I to rely on our feelings. The good news tonight is that Jesus has redeemed us by the blood. Praise God. And it doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter what you're facing. Praise God. You can tell Satan, hit the road, Jack. I've got a word. I got a word from God in the name of Jesus. Satan, you hit the road. Hit the road. Not going to listen to your lies. When he starts telling you that, you know, nobody really likes you, you need to tell him in the name of Jesus, hit the road. When he starts telling you they don't like you, nobody down at that church, they don't even know your name, they don't even like you, they don't even want you there, say, no, in the name of Jesus, hit the road. When he starts saying, you just nobody likes you, you're just ugly and nobody like, tell that joke, hit the road. In the name of Jesus, I refuse to listen to your lies. I refuse to let you lie to me. Hit the road. He'll tell you, you're going to be broke and sick all your life. In the name of Jesus, hit the road. Brother Hagin said this, the greatest enemy to the church is not Satan, because he's already defeated. He is an enemy, but he's already a defeated foe. The greatest enemy to the church is our wrong thinking and wrong believing. And Satan contributes to that by sending fiery darts of doubt. He wants us to doubt ourselves, doubt our righteousness, doubt our position in Christ, doubt our inheritances, doubt the way that God loves us, doubt our forgiveness. He tries to send fiery darts. But you're going to have to lift up that shield of faith and block those fiery darts of the enemy and tell Satan to hit the road, so that you can walk in the victory that Jesus has already won. Father, in the time that we've had tonight, we thank you for encouraging our hearts. And we thank you for providing us an opportunity to finish what we have here. Father, thank you for your people tonight. Oh, Father, someone needed to hear just what we ministered on tonight.
And thank you for the liberating power of the Word of God and the liberating power of the Holy Ghost. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here tonight, praise God for you. God loves you so much. And if you're here tonight under the sound of my voice, and you've never been born again, I want to give you a marvelous, wonderful opportunity. If Satan's been lying to you, and a lie that he'll tell around this time of the service is, you don't need to do that tonight, come back another night, do that another time. He's a liar. Don't listen to him. But if you'll yield yourself to the Holy Spirit down on the inside of you. Is anybody here tonight, you've never received Jesus as your Savior? You're not sure if you would go to heaven if you were to die tonight. Would you lift your hand? Would you let me have the privilege to pray for you? Is there anybody here like that? Just lift your hand up long enough where I can see you and acknowledge you. Anybody here? I don't want to miss anybody. Is there anybody here and you say, well, brother, I've received Christ into my life, but I know I'm not living for Christ right now. Satan's been lying to me and I want to make it right. I want to get it right. Thank you. I want to get it right. Give me the privilege to pray for you. Would you do that? Would you listen to the Holy Spirit on the inside of you? Yes. Amen. Thank you for your hand. Would you let God minister to you tonight? Oh my goodness. God loves you so much and he wants to help you. Is anybody here tonight and you say, you know what? I hear so much about being filled with the Holy Spirit with the initial evidence of speaking in other tongues, but I've never experienced that New Testament experience and I want to be filled with the mighty Holy Spirit. I want to speak in new tongues as the initial evidence of the mighty infilling of the Holy Spirit. Is anybody here like that? Would you lift your hand and let me pray for you? Lift your hand, let me pray for you. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask you to do something bold, something radical, something spiritual, something godly, something that the Holy Spirit's moving on me to do. And that is, I'm going to count to three and I want you just to stand on your feet. Just stand right up on your feet boldly. Just boldly stand on your feet. One, don't let the enemy lie to you anymore. Two, I want you just to stand up and say, God, I'm going to follow you and obey you. Three, just stand right up on your feet. Just stand up right now. Just stand up right now. That's right. Just stand up on your feet. That's right. Now I want you to come right down here. Meet me down here and I'm going to do just what I said. I'm going to pray for you. Come right on down here. Maybe you know you're supposed to be on your feet. You may know you're supposed to be on your feet. You may not be on your feet. That's okay. Come on down here. That's okay. Just stand right here in front of me. That's okay. Stand right here in front of me. Just face me. That's fine. Just face me right there. That's right. Stay right there. Yeah, come on. Anybody else? Come on. The altar's open. God loves you so much. God loves you so much. The question is, how long are you going to let the devil lie to you? How long are you going to let him lie to you? He is a liar, and he wants to destroy your life. Thank you for coming, you guys. He wants to destroy your life. The altar's still open. You want to come down here? Don't sit there letting the enemy convince you that tomorrow's okay. The Bible says today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Come on down here and let God help you. Ladies, what I want you to do is just lift one hand to God. Just lift one hand to the Lord, because that's where our help comes from. I can't help anybody, but he can. He's the great, the one who's helping tonight, healing and saving. Say this prayer out loud with me. Father, I come. Just say it right out loud. Everybody say it. Father, I come in the name of Jesus. I give you my heart. I give you my life. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that he rose from the dead for my sins. Jesus, restore me. Heal me. Deliver me. And then fill me with the mighty Holy Ghost. Thank you, Father, for saving, for delivering, for touching right now, right here. Oh, thank you. Thank you. In the mighty name of Jesus, glory to God. Thank you for the mighty filling, the mighty baptism of the Holy Ghost. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you in the name of Jesus. Man, there's going to be some words just bubbling up out of your spirit. You just have to let those words come out of you. Father, thank you for healing, restoring, rebuilding. Oh, you're the master. You're the master, and we thank you and bless you and honor you. Thank you for touching people's lives tonight, for helping them in every area, in every way, in the mighty name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus. This is Brother Tracy over here, and he's coming. These folks are from our prayer room, and they have some free gifts and free materials, and they're going to answer all your questions. They're not going to keep you in that prayer room very long at all. They're just going to answer your questions, give you some free materials. If you'll go with them right now, they're going to give you those free materials if you'll go right now, okay? Thank you all for coming down here. Oh, glory to God. Praise God. Glory to God. Come on, sweetie. They've got some free materials for you. Praise God. Amen. Come on, stand on your feet. Point your hand toward all of our friends here. Praise God. Praise God. Come on, let's pray for them. Father, we thank you for each and every person that responded to this altar call tonight. We thank you for your hand Oh, for your mighty delivering hand, your healing hand, your strengthening hand, your saving hand, your mighty filling hand. Oh, thank you, Father God. Fill them all. Strengthen them and heal them and deliver them and anoint them and equip them for all that you have for them, Father God. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you for it, giving you all the glory and the honor and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, my friend, thank you so much for coming to church tonight. How many blessed tonight as you prepare to go? Praise God. Remember, let's keep our pastors in prayer. And this week, be right here, Hour of Power, Wednesday night, 7 p.m., and you will be blessed. God bless you, one and all.